I have to wait for a moment until my technical issues. Raise Zoom here. I tried to see people reading from their phones, you know. God, that looks good, you know. But it's usually a disaster. Come on. It's usually a disaster. The last time I tried it, it didn't work very well. So I'm looking for great things now. Come on, you, Samsung, you know, we're not telling. Now, yes. Documents. I said to go first. I shouldn't have said first. No, I was doing things wrong. Anyway, where's the plan? This is a poem I wrote about a very ordinary object, and I wonder will you guess what it is. So I won't say. Okay. There's no prizes or anything. Price is a new Samsung, better than this one. Now I've got to make it bigger because it's quite small. Here it is. The poem is called Your Humble Servant. Beside the microwave, or Kenwood chef, or toaster, me. Remember when you cooked your hands to drink fresh water from a stream? Then had the sudden thought to shape me. Later still, to round me on the wheel and decorate me, bake me, sometimes accidentally break me in your stone-floored Neolithic kitchen. How it wasn't long before you learned to bend me out of metal, how you came to place me gently with the shrouds of those who journey to the shades. These dials and switches now, these interactive screens, would temperature controls are very welcome, yes, but always nearby, waiting, full or empty. Me, wooden, clay or metal, porcelain or plastic, ever I remain your humble servant. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of that?
Microwave?
Yeah, it's a bowl or a cup. I mean, it's like all those things that are very simple and they stay with us all the time. You see them in old documents and places as I madly try to get the next thing here. I think one of those newscasters that have to fill in time, and they do so very well, better than me. Hold on a second, here we are. I never did this again, sir. Anyway, serious poem this. It was very affected by recently. The sister of Jojo Dollard died, and she had spent her whole life looking for Jojo, you know, tried everything. And there's a whole series of girls that just disappeared. So I read a book called Missing Presumed, which is a very good book, very hard to read. It's, you know, eight people, girls that... So I wrote this poem after I read the book. I don't know that it's a good idea to read a poem after reading such a book. Write a poem after reading such a book. It's called The Where. Late that evening, and her bus missed, and no lift, she hitchhiked straight into oblivion. Left no rumour, clue, no fingerprint, not smallest, faintest trace of her departure. Unremarkable that day that dawned like any other, but a mainstay in the superstructure didn't hold. A bolt came loose, strut, a fret inched out of place. Or if it be that happenings are mapped out for the best beforehand, something cloven intervened to turn her step out of the path ordained to guide her safely back to us. Hard, the waiting, year on year, the doorbell, phone bell, feel the sorrow welling in the throat until we come to hope to hear the words we never thought we'd hope to hear. And darker than the deed itself, the heart that hides it will not tell the how, the where, the when. The where is all that matters now. What bog, what bramble mountainside, what fen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next up is Julie Aldridge, please.
This one is called Snake. Why is everything I do involved with you? 10 years since you slid into my dream, whispering spliced promises, installing your secret scheme. You tempted me, a neophyte. We clicked after just one bite of the apple in your eye. I'm conflicted, it's insane. Addicted to your game, you in turn trade information encoded in cold veins, maintain your dark domains while craving my attention. Though we remain in sync, my garden lies wasted, my orchard untasted, barren where green should be. I curse you, sidewinder, many-headed serpent of technology.
Thank you very much. And Jack Shorten.
Thanks, Shauna. I'm half afraid to read this, being a little bit superstitious. It has been published, but I'm a little nervous of this poem, but I put it out there today. I called it Phobia. I never said it to her that I was afraid of it, afraid of him and his relics and his stigmata mittens and his eyes on all of us from the side altars. I never said it to her how he goaded me through the garden on padres placed by the bereaved, ironically, to ward off devils and guard the grave sites. I never divulged to her that the symbol of her early death impending in my mind was that relic, whatever it was, in a mousy pouch under the pillow on the far side of her sickbed. We joked, and I tried not to show, that I had hoped the pouch had held a harmless bit of weed and not a piece of his P.O. heaven that I half prayed wasn't waiting for us all on the other side.
Thank you, Jack. And next, please, Charles Clark.
Thanks. Dublin Times. At 3 in the afternoon, was it exactly 3 in the afternoon? A girl is kicking my taxi at 3 in the afternoon. She is roaring her head off in the street near Adams and Eves, and the driver says she's a junkie at 3 in the afternoon. The lad she is with say nothing, but give her moral support. The girl takes the initiative. Indeed, she's a tough sort. If she roars at 3 in the afternoon, what is her next act? Would she take a rest in the gutter and resume with her next supply?
Thank you, Charles. And next is Niall Herriot.
I was going to read a poem called The Session last week when people were doing other people's poems, but I couldn't make it because of flood warnings, so I'd like to read it, but actually, now I see that Fergus Costello is there. It's his poem. I wonder, would you give it? Because I couldn't do it justice compared to you. And I have it here if you don't remember parts of it.
Would you?
The session?
Right.
Do it, you
Yeah.
You're with. Impossible.
A collaboration.
I don't know how it's possible. But there it is if you don't remember parts. Yeah. Brilliant. That was the runner-up in the 2012 National Poetry Slam. Great. The second poet, he came second. Isn't that right, Fergus?
I believe so. It was a great night out. There was some people here that were there that night. Paul and Rab were there for sure. Mary was there. There is no question, I just love the session. I pure need to play tunes with my friends, killer tunes given to us by our ancestors whose spirits hover above us in the room as we gather together to live, breathe and commune with each other at the session. As we play, we become one with the tune, we become the tune. And Jesus is in the room, he is pitch perfect, so are we, and the Holy Ghost is only horsing through us like sheer gar on ground that's good to very good, and the legendary Tom Lawlor says, it's all good. And Tom is like a sacred forest up on top of a holy mountain. He's a virtual god on the button accordion with a heart as big as K2 filled up to the very tip-top with countless killer tunes that come flowing out of him like you might expect to see water come bursting forth from a fountain you might expect to see on the Champs-Élysées if you were in Paris. But you're not, you're in Terry Glass at the session where everything's allowed as long as it's not horrendous. Even the God help us man with the bow round and the spoons who sometimes wanders in and joins and sits down and proceeds to brutally batter his bow round in a manner reminiscent of a deranged lunatic trying to inflict mortal injury on a sworn enemy. Yes, even he's allowed at the session. But not his bow round or his spoons. They have to stay outside the back door beside the fella standing up having a smoke, telling horrendous filthy jokes kind not allowed at the session for fear they might offend your mother. Meanwhile, back inside, we continue to bless each other with every single note that we play. We even bless each other with the bum notes that sometimes fall out in between the notes that we mean to come out, because the bum notes remind us we're not always perfect. And we don't have to. All we have to be is be there at the session and be prepared to share each other with each other. And sometimes it feels like we can almost touch perfect, like we've been sucked up by the rapture of the tunes and wrapped up smack bang in the middle of perfect, where we become one with the tune. And Jesus is still in the room. Only now he's been joined by Muhammad, Shiva, Yahweh and the Buddha, all the angels and saints and all the martyrs to creamy pints of porter that ever went before us. And together with the spirits of our ancestors, they formed some sort of a super celestial Kaylee band. And they're all smack bang in the zone with absolutely no intention of ever going home. And neither do we. Because the Holy Ghost is still horsing through us like sheer gar on ground that's good to very, very good. And one more time, the legendary Tom Lawlor says, it's all good. As he shows us one more time how to wink, smile, and play killer tunes all at the same time. There is no question. I just love the session.
Sorry, where were we? I've lost the run myself. Next up, please, Seamus Harrington.
Thanks. Just my luck. Many years ago, I was coming up all over Plunkett Street listening to music, and the sound of a generator cut in And when I got a bit closer, I saw it was inside in a wheelbarrow. They were renovating the street, so I thought, that's a nice portable generator. It could be in the garden, so it's called current generation. Engine in the garden, thumping in the tulips, busy while it idles, pumping out pollution. Sycamores are cribbing, jackdaws concurring, cabbages concurring, jackdaws are inhaling, walls reverberating. Now another racket, disc cuts at the concrete, sparks along the pathway, peppering red tomatoes. Evergreens don't envy this exhausting raucous, blooms can hear no skylark, runner beans no walkman. Tabbies on the chimney, Jenny still putting, decibels appealing to his silly lordship. Home-stripped caterpillars softly pleading, let us have a moment's silence, frogs are slowly croaking. Eve did tend her apple well above the ozone, claimed it was organic, Adam soon and cider.
Isn't it mad, like, much Adam and Eve imagery here? Not even tonight, just in general, like, how, like, fascinating that story. Thank you very much, Seamus. Next up, can we have Patricia Walsh, please?
I'm not really sure how to follow that. It's called Perfumed Head. Circumventing like a rolled cigarette, a flurry of switches to light the corner. Slow art decorates the indifferent walls, the silent television never still kept down. A ridiculed couple sagely populate in a corner. Throws a cup for less, sipping wine, garlanded throughout by surreptitious lights, animate though they are, skipping beats. The new punters have no place to stay. The solitary residents are caring either way. A film yet scripted dances on the floor, walking on the outside, safe from weather. Strolling outside, a risk splitting taking. It's time. Freezing to the nine, thank you. Naked under tea lights, speaking for lure. Switch the troubled light to its full potential, informing betters to bring things to speed. The complaint everlasting, full notice given. Rise from graves calling through some serious misgivings. Hardly laughter at home smooths everything sweet. Faults if known can be corrected. Form and content peak completely each other for the ultimate saving. A soft machine begs to differ lightly. Training alternative never working in cheek. Starving inferiors will understand little. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia. Can we please have Gillian Lawrence?
Sorry, no, whoops.
My pronunciation, because I don't know how to pronounce Irish, but this was a poem from the story called Myth and Dovruth. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. Is it Ruth or?
It's like dove, like black, like dove, dove and then
Ruth. Anyway, I'm not sure. That's the name, but I don't use it again, so. In ancient times, this isle abode was home to maiden fair gone mad. Circumstance of love and loss would have her blind and savage. This was the cause of fear in men who lost their lives asserting ego to end in barren land. But one, a man of music, harp held to his chest, despite the king's mockery and dare, used his understanding and compassion, laid himself bare. With only some reminders of her heart's losses as protection, joined with her body, disguised as a game they played. Protected her with patience and persevered through many moons, she returned with him to a semblance of health and healing of her wounds.
Thank you very much, Gillian. Next up, Mary O'Connell, please.
I don't know what.
Oh, it's
thanks, Shana. This is just a little thing called Neither a Borrower Nor a Lender Be, with apologies to Shakespeare. Beware of giving money to a friend, especially if the sum you need to lend is more than you yourself would ever spend. Polonius saw it as a dangerous trend. You may think that you're doing someone a good turn, but if they think that you have dosh to burn, come payback time, you may be left to yearn for what you gave, the object of their scorn. When banks refuse to lend, you may step in to give a helping hand, to kiss and kin. But tricksters who have sob stories to spin may use your hard-earned cash to buy some gin. The buzz you get from giving can be great, and even if it's subject to debate, lending a lot of money to a mate may mean to get it back, you'll have to wait.
Thank you very much, Mary. Next up is Dan Harding.
Sorry.
Doesn't matter at all.
This could be about the 70s, Nixon's time, or it could be about now. It's called Tell Me the Truth. Tell me the truth before I go to your war. Tell me the truth, if I need to know what I'm fighting for. This place I'm going to in the prime of my youth is totally alien to me, and I do really need to know the truth. I have no fight within me, with no country or no man. So tell me the truth so I can see before I join your clan. Just tell me the truth before I go to breathe my last breath. I hope it is quick and not a slow lingering and awful death. I would willfully die a hero in my native place. But tell me the truth before I go, and tell me to my face.
Thank you very much, Dov. And next, Benjamin Burns, please.
The Elysian in the hazy sun post-dawn, a hollow skull with a headset on, tuned in to poetry as vacuous and uplifting as a TED talk given by some neuroscientist or other who attempts to discredit the reality of the reality we perceive, or who turns research on brain plasticity into an advertisement for self-empowerment, defacing with crude narrative this perfect contemporary ghost ship. Clean bone, slick green glass and blue neon, approaching the shores of another's consciousness, mirror neurons firing.
Thank you, Ben. And next up, Fergus Costello, please. Once again, please.
K.
proper pronunciation is important. Not just in the world of poetry, it's also important in the everyday world, every day for you and for me. This lesson was brought home to me very clearly a number of years ago, the first and one and only time I ever met the one and only Seamus Heaney. I received over the phone a last minute invitation to what I mistakenly believed to be a poultry festival. So I quickly slapped on a name tag and hurried along to the festival with a Rhode Island red rooster tucked in under my arm, as you do. And who do you think I met just inside the festival hall door only? The one and only Seamus Heaney. And after he looked at me and read my name tag, he said, "Fergus, what's with the Rhode Island Red?" "Well, Seamus," I said, "I didn't want to be coming along to the festival empty-handed." "Do you have a keen interest in poultry yourself, Seamus?" I said. "What?" he said. "Do you have a keen interest in poultry yourself, Seamus?" I said, repeating myself. "What?" he said, repeating himself. From the bemused look on his face, I deduced Seamus was a newcomer to the Irish poultry scene. I figured he'd never been to a poultry festival before. "Don't you worry about it, Seamus," I said. "No need to feel ashamed just because you haven't got a bog's notion about poultry. Believe you me, most of these people here, they're just like you. They haven't got a clue. They're just pretending that they do. You see, Seamus, believe it or not, the Irish poultry world is full to the very top with bluffers and bullshitters." Seamus looked at me as if I had 45 heads, all filled with goose feathers. "What?" he said. "Okay, Seamus, seriously, man, you have got to stop saying what, yeah? People will think you're stupid. It's obvious you're a novice. God knows you know, and I know, both know that you know fuck all about poetry, but you don't have to let the whole world know. Instead, let on that you do know. In that way, the Irish poetry world will show you respect in respect of what they think that you do know. Keep it ambiguous, Seamus. Instead of saying what, try saying, that's interesting." "Don't worry, Seamus, it's all right. Doesn't mean anything. It could mean anything. Could mean that's interesting in a good way, or it could mean that's interesting in a not so good way. But either way, Seamus, as Roy Keane might say in the end of today, it's better to say that's interesting than to say what." I paused for a moment to allow Seamus to digest this information, hoping, fingers crossed, that at last the penny might drop. But I'm afraid not. "What? Okay, Seamus, listen, I'll give you a few tips, okay? For starters, I say, a beard and a tweed jacket with, of course, leather patches on the elbows will, of course, earn your respect. So would a wife with a double barrel name. Never ever feel ashamed about dropping names, and remember, Seamus, in the Irish poetry world, bluffing and bullshitting is the name of the game." I could see the Shane was still having difficulty keeping up with me.
"What?
Okay, Seamus, seriously, man, for flip's sake, man, get a grip, yeah? This isn't rocket surgery we're talking about. We're talking about poultry. Okay, Seamus, let's try something different. Here," I said, "take hold of my Rhode Island Red. Tuck him in under your arm that way." "No, not that way, Seamus. That way. Yeah, that way. That way, Seamus. You won't stand out like a sore thumb. To make it look more the part. It won't fool everybody, but it's a start. And Seamus, let's you and me go down and sit down somewhere. I'll give you the full lowdown, and in no time at all, I'll teach you how to speak like a genuine poetry geek." "I'm sorry," Seamus said. "I can't. Have to give a talk." "You have to give a talk," I said. "Yes," he said. "I'm the keynote speaker." Now it was my turn. "What? You're the keynote speaker at a poetry festival, even though you haven't got bugs knowing about poetry? Respect, Seamus. Respect, man. I've met bluffers and spoofers in my day, but by God, you're up there with the very best. You are the best, Seamus. With my Rhode Island Red Rooster still tuckling under his arm, Seamus turned to make his way to the podium to give the keynote address to what I still mistakenly believe to be a hall jam-packed with poultry enthusiasts. I shook his hand and said, "Seamus, before you go, I just want you to know that you are and forever will be my all-time hero. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you won't be too disappointed when I tell you that I never met Seamus Heaney. The truth is, the most famous person I ever met was the Dalai Lama, and I met him one time at a conference that I mistakenly believed to be a conference about medication. Ladies and gentlemen, proper pronunciation is important.
Very good. And from someone who has had many mispronunciations tonight, can I have Philip Spillane, please? Thank you.
I'm going to learn from that. That was very interesting. So I'm going to try and play something. It's going to be the first verse, not the whole song, because that will take up time. I want to hear everybody else, because it's the open mic. And I'm going to try and record my own stuff. This is called Dream Ring. Up in the sky, well, I'm gonna try. I hope you fall as dream ring. But when I fall, that'll be all. And then I crawl back in my hole again. Gonna try again to fall as dream ring. And then I fall. That's at least a try.
Thank you very much, Philip. Next up, please. Yes, please. Nobody else. So, our last person on the open mic, Kieran McCartan, please. Oh.
Called the corner of Tawasin Avenue and Prosperity Row, and Tawasin is a place in like the southern delta in British Columbia, south of Vancouver. Toward the boulevard of broken dreams you tread slow, look left and right down the long winding street of Prosperity Row. There's a still chill in the night. I feel that it may snow. Second Street on the left, Tawasin Avenue's streetlights glow. Neighborhood watch says the kids are acting strange. The ND's sun is in on time for a change. Porch light shines as he keys open the door. There's a smell of new polish from the kitchen floor. Dinner's in the microwave, says a note on the refrigerator. Mommy had a headache, had to go to bed. Baby, please don't hate her. Daddy's away on business, won't be back for a while. Kitchen table gathers dust, mirrors never smile. Kids on the school bus laugh at God from behind their science book. They echo what the TV says, look how the magazines look. Who needs to find an answer when it's been posted up online? The Bible is modern fiction, science always shines. If that great pop promise can't explain it, someone's done something wrong. Opinions sound so silly now. You've been young too long. Mother, what did you do today? Your son became a man. God lives in the clouds. I read it on a Coca-Cola can. An introspective flag of self-importance flies from the corner of Tawasan Avenue and Prosperity Row. Beneath it, the grass does grow. All around, the streetlights glow. There is a feel that it may snow. A feel that it may snow.
We have a new addition, so please put your hands together for Eileen Halpert.
As usual, I'm always last and always late, so here we go. This poem doesn't have a name, but I wrote it after my friend told me she saw a man muttering on the street. Man mutters of matters with mysterious meaning, laid out by the unseen and the unknown. Twisted words with weird wild teachings, designed only to confuse and renew. Woman wants a way to watch the whole weary world, as it spirals and spins somewhere in space. Unhappy with no understanding of the uncertain unknown, she instead looks around the dirty ground.
Thank you very much, Eileen. Thank you very much for everyone who read on the open mic. A big round of applause again for our wonderful guest poet, Anna Maria Crowe.